Good evening, everybody. Welcome to our Good Friday service. It's so good to see all of you guys. We are going to have an evening tonight of some singing, some communion, and some reading of the scripture, and just reflection on this time that we honor our Savior and celebrate what he has done for us and the death on the cross for our sins. But thankfully, on Sunday, we get to celebrate that he rose from the dead. So let's go ahead and let's worship with one another tonight. All right, here we go.
I was an orphan lost at the fall, running away when I needed call. Father, you worked your will. I had no righteousness of my own. I had no right to draw me to grow. Father, you loved me still. And in love before you laid the world's foundation, you predestined to adopt me as your own. So high above my station, I'm a child of God by grace and grace alone. You left your home to seek out the lost. You knew the great and terrible cost. Jesus, your face was sad. I worked my fingers down to the bone. Nothing I did could ever atone. But Jesus, you paid my debt. By your blood I have redemption and salvation. Lord, you died that I might reap what you have sown. And you rose that I might be a new creation. Born again by grace and grace alone. I was in darkness all of my life. I never knew the day from the night. Spirit, you made me see. I swear I knew the way on my own. Head full of rocks, a heart made of stone. Spirit, you moved in me. My sleeping spirit was awakened. On my darkened heart, the light of Christ has come. Through a kingdom that cannot be shaken, having set us in by grace and grace alone. So I'll stand in faith by grace and grace alone. By grace and grace alone, I will stand and sing. By grace and grace alone, I will reach the end. By grace and grace alone.
Father, we thank you for this time that we have to gather together to worship you and praise you, and I thank you that it is by grace alone and nothing by what we can do. And I pray that we remember that tonight as we fellowship together. Pray this in your name. Amen.
A reason.
precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit to the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see His face. There I'll serve my King forever.
Good evening, everyone. We begin by reading from John 17, usually called the High Priestly Prayer, and it was prayed somewhere between their leaving the upper room and arriving at the Garden of Gethsemane. John 17. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept you. They have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Soul shall find rest beyond.
mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, be my glory.
Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected.
could not hold him, the grave could not keep him, rising again, living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified, freely forever.
I will be reading from Book of John 18, 1 through 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the brook Kidron, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officer from the chief priest and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let this man go." This was fulfilled the word that had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him into Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not you also are not one of this man's disciples, are you? He said, I am not. Now the servant, an officer, had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself.
Thank you.
Let's continue our narrative in John 18, verse 19. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogues and in the temple, where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." No, Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to him, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend."
Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar. So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified.
He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. In the breaking night, Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my Lord. Faintly they watch his death. Jesus, my Savior. Faintly they seal the death. Jesus, my Lord. He arose, he arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose.
the guilt of every man, the weight of all I've done, nailed into your hand. Oh, your love bled for me. Oh, your blood in crimson streams. Hell's defeat, a cross meant to kill is my victory. It's running through my veins. I can't escape its grip. In you my soul is safe. You covered everything. Oh, your love fled for me. Oh, your blood in crimson stream. Oh, your to dance.
death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. Shame was a ransom made fit for me.
John chapter 19, verse 17, it says, "And he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is Golgotha. There they crucified him and with him two others, one on either side and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather 'this man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw that his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the others who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you may also believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled, "Not one of his bones will be broken." And again, another scripture says, "They will look on him whom they have pierced." And these things Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus, who had come earlier to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there.
Take, eat, this is my body, broken for your healing. This is my blood, shed for remission and forgiveness of your sin. Do this to remember what
And sisters, that's what we're here to do tonight. That's what we've done. We've reflected and we've remembered, and now together we're going to partake of communion together. One of our elders, his name is Philippe, is going to be walking down, and if you did not receive an element, you can just get his attention and he will pass it on to you. Friends, what a privilege it is for us to come together on Good Friday and to remember Jesus' death by celebrating communion. I hope all of us realize here tonight that none of us deserve to be here. We are only here because of the grace and the kindness and the goodness of our great Savior, Jesus Christ. And so as we take this wafer right now, and as we eat it, let's take a moment to quietly reflect. Maybe it's a time for you to just thank God for who he is and what he's done for you in Christ. Maybe it's time for you to confess to God that you've made life more about you than you've made it about Jesus. But let's take a moment to pray, and then we will eat together. Father, thank you so much for bringing us here tonight. Thank you so much for saving us from our sin and your judgment through your Son. And Lord, now as we partake of this bread and drink of this cup, to remember who you are and what you've done. We are thankful, Lord, that in you it is finished. Salvation has been paid for, and we belong to you. And it's in your name that we praise you and we thank you. Amen. Friends, let's partake of this wafer together. Before we partake of the cup, we're going to sing another song together. Friends, before we take of this cup, let's reflect on the reality that on that cross, Jesus was treated as you should be. That means Jesus was treated as someone who yelled at his wife, gossiped about his church member, looked at something he shouldn't have looked at, disobeyed his parents. Also that we could be made right with him and enjoy a relationship with him forever. Friends, that's a glorious Savior. Let's partake of this cup together, remembering his death for us. The night that Jesus instituted what we just celebrated, after they partook of the cup together, they sang a hymn together. They sang a song together. And so we are going to do the same thing to close our Good Friday service. And we look forward to celebrating Resurrection Sunday together. Here's what's really cool because of what Christ has done. We don't have to wait till Sunday to celebrate his resurrection. We celebrate his resurrection every day. So why don't we stand together and let's sing together to close our service.
Because I know He holds the future.
has risen. Thank you guys for joining us this evening. Please be sure. I will see you guys on Sunday, okay? See you guys Easter Sunday here. Have a good rest of your evening. We love you guys.